Serve a great God. Thank you so much for being a church that prays. Thank you for praying for Emily and baby Aurora. Thank you for being a church that just really believes God. I'm telling you, I'm encouraged. I'm sitting here. I feel like we've already had church already this night. I'm telling you, God is good. God is good. And He's worthy of our praise and He's worthy of our thanks, because no matter what situation you're in, if you have Christ, the worst thing that can happen to you is also the best thing that can happen to you. I mean, if the worst thing that can happen is you die and you get to go to heaven and you get to be with Jesus and walk on streets of gold and you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't have to worry about gas prices, because Jesus, you don't have to worry about the electric bill. Jesus is the light of heaven. That's where we're going. If the worst thing that can happen to you and I in Christ is also the best thing that can happen, I'm telling you, we got it made in the shade drinking pink lemonade. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 136 in God's Word. I think we need to just pause with all the craziness happening in our world, and we need to give thanks to the Lord. We need to give thanks to the Lord. You know, our God is a God that is good, and He is worthy of our thanks. He's worthy of our thanks. There might be some that are ready to be going through a difficult time. Maybe you're going through cancer. Maybe you're going through a difficult health issue. Or maybe your children are far from the Lord. Or maybe you're struggling with depression at home. And maybe you're going through something. You're worried about the gas prices. And you're worried, is Tennessee going to win? And you're worried about all these things that really don't matter. And I want us to just pause for a few moments. And I want us to think about the fact that our God, the Lord God Almighty, He is worthy of our praise. You may be wondering, why is God worthy of our praise? Let me give you five reasons. God has already given us five reasons here. Let's look at it together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is what?
Good.
He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse number two, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. I'll read the first part of each of these verses, and we'll all read together the second part, okay? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of Lords together.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him who alone doeth great wonders.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that by wisdom made the heavens.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day.
For His mercy endureth forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel from among them.
For His mercy endureth forever.
With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts.
For His mercy
and made Israel to pass through the midst of it.
For His mercy endureth forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him which led His people through the wilderness.
For His mercy endureth forever.
To Him which smote great kings.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites. And all king of Bashan.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And gave their land for an inheritance.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Even an heritage unto the Israel, His servants.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For His mercy endureth forever.
And hath redeemed us from our enemies.
For His mercy endureth.
Who giveth food to all flesh.
For His mercy.
Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven.
For His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, God.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, thank You for writing Your word, Father, under the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, Father, that these words were penned. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You would work in a way like only You can, Father. There may be those here that have never truly believe the gospel, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in a way like only you can, Father. It's not about a man. It's not about a preacher. It's about your word, Father. And your word is good. And what you've given us is good. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to eat of your word, to be reminded of your word, to be refreshed by your word, to be reminded from your word, dear Heavenly Father, that you're a God that is worthy of our praise. Holy Spirit, work in a way like only you can, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, for you alone are worthy. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Why is God worthy of our praise? Why is the Lord worthy of our praise? There's a lot of atheists, and there's a lot of people that live depressed lives. And they blame God for why they got cancer. Or they blame God for the loss of a loved one. Or they blame God for how bad things are in their life. And they would ask you, why is God worthy of praise? Well, God gives us many different reasons here. But let's look at five of them together. The first reason we should give God praise is found in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he is good. Do you all realize that the God of the Bible, he's a good God? You know, there's people in religions in Africa where we live, in Benin, they get on their knees and they bow down to idols and they take a chicken and cut its head off and spill the blood on an idol that has demon horns that somebody made, somebody created this idol, and they're bowing down to it. And they're worshiping this idol. You know why? Why are they worshiping this idol? Because they're scared to death that if they don't do this, that this idol will haunt them, that some witch doctor will curse them. And this idol, they're looking to this idol for their protection. And there is no love. And this idol is not good. It's a demon. It's a demon spirit that's behind this. And it's not a good idol. It's not a good God. It's a false God. You know, here in this text, it says, God is the God of who?
Yes.
Of God. There are other false gods out here.
Yeah.
And there are false gods, physical idols in Africa where we live and where we work. But here in America, the devil has just changed strategies.
Right.
Here in America, they're still the same idols.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Look around.
Yeah.
Look around. We have it so good here. Look at the fast food that we have. Look at the nice cars we have. Look at the nice houses we have. Look at all the comfort we have. Look at the nice phones that we have. Look at college football and basketball and sports and how people will pay money, give money every Sunday to go watch people tackle each other, but they won't come to church and they say, I don't have money to give God. We have idols. We have idols. And you have alcohol and drugs and pornography. The devil has just changed strategies about the idols that he's given us here. And there are still people here that every day are bowing down to the same idols. But you know what? Those idols, those false gods, they are not good. They are not good. Sure, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it'll leave you high and dry. It'll leave you high and dry every time. Sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. And it'll cost you infinitely more than you were ever willing to pay. It'll keep you there longer than you ever wanted to stay. Sin is not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Oh, I don't have time for church. Oh, Tennessee plays. I can't go to church because I gotta work and make more money. Oh, that's an idol, if that's the case. We should have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness as believers. Why should God get our thanks? Because he's good.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus gives us a story. He gives a story of a young man that came up to his father and he said, Father, I wish you were dead.
Yeah.
I don't care about you. I just want your money.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. Give me my money. Give me the inheritance that falls to me. And what did that father do? That father was a good father. So what did he do? He gave him what he asked for.
Yeah, brother.
The Bible actually says he gave unto them his inheritance. So he gave unto the rich, to the older son, and he gave unto the younger son.
Yep.
But this younger son, what did he do? He went into a far country, and he wasted his substance with what?
Righteous.
With righteous living, right?
Yeah.
And he did what he wanted to do. And he listened to his flesh. And he went where he wanted to go. And he drank what he wanted to drink. And he slept with who he wanted to sleep with. And he did whatever he wanted to do. He lived in sin until, guess what? His money ran out. And all of his friends that he was having so much fun with, when he had money, what happened to him when his money ran out? They were gone. They left him high and dry. And the devil will do that to you as well. If you want to go and live in sin, you're a young person, you think, oh, well, it sounds like fun living in sin. I'm telling you, ask some of these other believers in here that have lived in sin. Ask them if it was worth it. Ask if it was worth it. I don't really know. I haven't gone down that path. But don't go there. I can tell you that much. Because why? I know the goodness of the Father. This Father in this story, the Son came back to him. The Son, when he had nothing, when he was left penniless, and he was just in rags, and he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating, and he thought to himself, I have a Father. And my Father is wise, and my Father is good, and he might not take me back as his son, but he'll give me a job, and I'm hungry. And so he went on the journey, and he started walking. In this walk, he started rehearsing, what am I going to say to my Father?
Go ahead, brother.
What am I going to say to my Father? How's he going to treat me? And you know what the Father did? Oh, the story. It's called the prodigal son, but it's not about the son.
No.
This story Jesus gave is about the Father. Because the Father, when he saw him, he was yet a great way off. He ran. And for an older man to run, they would wear outfits longer than this, like a robe. For him to run, he would have to pull up this robe to run. And he ran. He humbled himself to run. And he ran. And he fell on his neck. And he kissed him, just like that.
Yeah.
Why did the Father run? Do you know why the Father ran?
Yeah, brother.
If you read the Old Testament,
yeah, yeah,
and you see how Jewish people are supposed to treat sons that disrespect their fathers,
right.
How are they supposed to do to them?
Stone,
they're supposed to stone them.
Yeah.
So you can imagine there were people gathered around, probably already with stones in their hand,
right,
ready to enact judgment on this son that was worthy of death because of how he disrespected his father. And I think that's why the father ran, to fall on his neck, because when he fell on his neck, he was telling everyone else, if you throw a stone, you're going to hit me first. And they all held their stones. And they dropped their stones, just like later on when the woman caught in the middle of adultery and everyone was ready with their stones. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, you who have never committed a sin, throw the first stone, and they drop their stones. It's a beautiful story. Not about the son and his wickedness. Not about the older son that thought he was all good. And he had inward wickedness, and he hid it under the good clothes and everything else, but he was wicked inside. The story is not about the sons. The story is about the Father. And our Father, he's a good God. And I hope and I pray that everyone in here, that you truly know the Father in this story. Because God isn't up in heaven with a lightning bolt just waiting for you to mess up so he can strike you down. No, that's not God. God isn't. Muslims, they're afraid to death in Benin. They're afraid to death of Allah. They say, I got to go to mosque and I got to pray Al-Akbar and I got to do all these things. Why do they do what they do? Because they're scared to death that if they don't, then Allah will kill them. Then Allah won't bless them. Because they don't know the God of the Bible. They don't know this good God of love. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. And he knows what you've done. And he knows where you've been. And he knows what you've seen. And he knows what you've said. And he still loves you. He loves you. And he's forgiven you. Why? Why is our God worthy of praise? It's right there in the verse. We've read it together. Because he is good. He's a good God. We serve a good God. Why else is he worthy of praise? Verse number 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. We should give God thanks because he's good. We should give God thanks because he is Lord.
Yeah.
One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. So as you're tempted to get mad and angry about the state of America and how there's wickedness flaunted everywhere, just remember this. One day every knee will bow. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
So don't get mad at the people doing this wicked stuff in America. You can get angry and have righteous indignation at the sin they're committing, but don't get angry at them. Realize that one day sooner or later, they're going to have to bow.
That's right.
They're going to have to bow.
Yes, preacher.
And it's on us to be like our God, who is good, and to take the gospel to them. So that when they bow and they confess that he's Lord, and they profess that he's Lord, they can do it with joy and not with anger through their teeth. That they can do it with joy and realize, hey, I know that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
May God help us all.
Right.
Where you work and where you go to school and whatever you're doing in your life, may God help us to live lives where we go everywhere. And by our lives, we show people that our God is good, and we show people that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we have to tell them, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless they're sent? We've got to go and tell them. There's a popular thing that's going around, Calvinism, and there's a lot of people that they've got all in their head that God's chosen, frozen, quack, quack, quack. They say, oh, God just wants some people to die and go to hell. But you will never find that in your Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. And may God help us. May God help us to have a heart after his heart. May God help us to go everywhere. To go everywhere and tell everyone that our God is good. And he's worthy of their thanks because he's good. And he's worthy of our praise. Why? Because he is Lord. He's Lord. You know, there's even people here in good old Jamestown, Tennessee, that do not know that Jesus is Lord. They don't know that he's Lord. In Knoxville, where we were flown into, I said, Lord, why do you have us back here? There's been 5 churches started, and there's 16 church plants going on, and there's 30 evangelists going everywhere, and revival's happening in Benin. What are you doing? Why am I here in America? I'm not comfortable here.
Go ahead, brother.
Why? I'm not comfortable being comfortable. There's too much comfort.
Right.
There's way too much comfort.
Yep.
I'm not comfortable. I said, God, what do you want from? Why are we here? And you know what God sent in? Infectious disease to doctors to see my wife because she had a kidney infection. And you know who they were? One was a Nigerian who had never heard the gospel. The other guy who came in after him was a guy from China who had never heard the gospel. And after that man left, you know who else came in? A Egyptian named Muhammad who said he was an atheist who had never heard the gospel. And God allowed us. God allowed them all to hear the gospel. You know, there's people here that think, oh, well, there's so many churches in America. And there's billboard signs and there's music on the radio that talks about Jesus. And, oh, there's so much Gideon Bibles everywhere. And that's true. We do have a lot, and praise the Lord for the saturation. But there are still people that have never heard the gospel. God has told us to go into all the world and preach gospel to every creature. But you know what happens? It's a lot easier for most people to just stay in America where it's comfortable. So you know what God has done is God is bringing the world to us here in America. You know, America is a melting pot of people coming from all over the world. They're coming. So instead of going all over the world, if you're not willing to, if you're afraid, that's okay. I'll go for you. But go across the street to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Share the gospel here. Because here, even in good old Bible belt of Tennessee, even here, there are people that have never heard the gospel. There are people moving here from California. There are people moving here like Steve. There are people moving here from Washington. There are people moving here from Oregon and from other wicked parts of America. They're coming here, and they've never heard the gospel. They need the gospel. They need to know that God is good. They need to know that he is Lord. Look verse number 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great what?
Wonders.
wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made what? The heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made the great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. What is the author saying here? What is the Holy Spirit saying here? Why is he bringing up all these things? Because he's trying to tell us something. God is good. He's worthy of our praise because he's good, because he's Lord, and because he is the creator. He is the creator God. God, he created everything. He stretched out the earth above the waters. He made the great lights also. You know, that includes the stars that are like millions of light years away from us. Right. They're like so far away, we can't even measure how far they are. And how are we just now seeing their light? It doesn't make sense unless God created the world at one time. Around 6,000 years ago, he created it. And he created it when we could already see the stars. Because any other way, there's impossible. God, he created the sun. And if the world in the galaxy, with all the different planets, if we were one little tiny bit closer to the sun, we would all burn. And if we were one tiny bit farther from the sun, we would all freeze. But God has hung the world in a perfect place where we have just enough sunlight to keep us warm. And we have just enough sunlight so we don't burn. You know, God, he created those lights. He created the sun to reflect the moon, because we as believers should reflect Jesus Christ. He's given us signs. Even atheists, they can look around and they can see a tree. How in the world can a tree, how can its roots grow deep? And how can it get photosynthesis from the sun and it grow and produce fruit? All of that is God. He created it. Our God is the creator God. And the devil likes to beat you up. He likes to beat us up sometimes. Or he likes to give us a stick and say, beat yourself with it. I can't believe you look like that. I can't believe you've done that. I can't believe you went there. I can't believe you did all these different types of things. He loves to lie to us. He's a liar, the devil. And he likes to attack. He likes to attack God's creation. You know, in Africa, the majority of women in Africa, they buy cream, whitening cream, to put on their skin, to bleach their skin, to turn them lighter. Just about every woman I know there, that's what they try to do. You know, in China, the same thing happens. They sell whitening cream. In India, the same thing happens. All over the world, people are trying to get lighter. And what do we do in America? What do a lot of people do in America?
I get darker.
They go to the beach to lay in the sun, or they go to the tanning bed to get darker.
What about that?
You know, fat people, they don't like being fat. They wish they were skinnier. But if you ask a skinny person, they wish they were thicker. People that don't have any muscle, they wish they were stronger. But people that have too much, they're like, oh, man, this is hard to carry around with me all the time. It just shows. It goes to show you that people are not content with how they are. They're not content with how they are because they're not happy with the fact that God created them. But the Bible says, while we were in our mother's womb, he knit us together in our mother's womb. The Bible says he knows how many hair you have on your head. He counts them. He thinks about you. How precious also are the thoughts in me. Lord, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand which is on the seashore. I can't count them. And every time God thinks about you, his thoughts are what? Precious. They're not, he's angry. He's not angry at you. No. When God thinks about you, his thoughts are full of love. And his thoughts are, how precious also are the thoughts in me, the Bible says. God, when he thinks about you, his thoughts are precious because he created you. He created you. He created all of humanity. But everyone that is born, we were all born at one point a child of who? The devil. John 8:44.
Right.
And the only way for us to become children of God is how? John chapter 1, verse 12. How is it? But as many as received him, to him gave he the power to become the sons of God, to them who called upon his name. Right. The name of who? Yeah. There is Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name who saves. And it's not Muhammad, and it's not Mary, and it's not Joseph Smith or Stalin or anyone else. There's only one name that saves, and it is Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's the one that transformed us from children of Satan, from children of darkness, to children of God. And children of light, all because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. We are not promised tomorrow. Tomorrow, you're not promised that Jesus won't come back or that your heart won't stop tomorrow. Don't put it off. Don't wait any longer. Why would you? What is the world? What has the devil given you? Has he been good to you? Has he been good to you? Like God's been good to you? No. No. Our God is worthy of our praise because he's good, because he's Lord, because he's the creator. Look with me all the way down in verse number 23. Who remembered us in our low estate? For his mercy endureth forever and hath redeemed us from our enemies. For his mercy endureth forever. You know, there's a big problem in America right now with depression. People are at home and they're depressed. They're depressed. You know why people are depressed and discouraged? You want to know why? You will be depressed too if you start thinking about you. The reason there's a problem with depression is because people think about themselves. And their problems, and how they feel, and what they want, and how they didn't get what they want, and how they deserve more than what they have. And people get depressed.
You're right.
You know why people get depressed? They also, they forget that he remembered us in our low estate. People are struggling with an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. They've forgotten, and many Christians even have forgotten who they are. You are precious, not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, not because you're worthy of God's grace. You are precious, and he calls you not a sinner while you were yet sinners, right? But he calls, and look in the book, in the beginning of every book, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians. What does he say? Unto the sinners that are there. Is that what he says? He says, unto the saints. Why? Because we are new creatures in Christ. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If you're in Christ in here, you're not a sinner. You are not a sinner biblically. You're a saint. And if you think you're a sinner, you're going to continue to sin. Because you're going to say, well, that's just who I am. That's just what I have to do. Because that's my identity. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No! You were a sinner saved by grace. While we were yet sinners. Let's be biblical. Let's be biblical. It's very important. Because if you believe you're a sinner, you will just continue in sin. In the Bible, the whole book of 1 John was written that we continue not in sin.
Right?
Yes. How can you live in sin when you're dead to sin? The Bible says in Romans 6, 7, and 8. There is now for there no condemnation. And then which are in Christ Jesus who walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. The Bible says it time and time again. He calls us saints because he remembered us. When we were in our low estate. When no one thought about you. When no one looked at you, when no one thought you were important,
yes,
God did. God did. He remembered you. So if you're at home and you sit there thinking that you're forgotten about, remember that he remembered you. Remember that he remembered you. We don't need to forget that he hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't forgotten us. Our sin, yes. Our sins and iniquities, the Bible says, will I remember no more. They are cast as far as the east is to the west. They are cast into the depths of the sea. He doesn't remember our sin, but he remembers us. He remembered us when we were in our lowest state. And he, what? He redeemed us. Why? Why Is God worthy of our thanks? Because he is good. Because he is Lord. Because he's the creator God. Because he's our redeemer. Yeah. He redeemed us. You know what the word redeem means? Who knows what that word means?
Oh, yeah, brother.
What does the word redeem mean? Huh? Oh. Bought back to purchase. He bought us. He bought us.
Yep.
Knowing all of our problems, he purchased us.
Yeah.
Who in here would buy a car? If you went and you saw this car, and this car, the battery was dead, and this car, the engine was shot, and this car had 727,000 miles on it, and this car had the paint peeling off of it, and this car was in horrible condition, would you buy that car knowing all those things? You would be crazy. But God bought you. And you were a lot worse than that car. You and I, we were a lot worse than that car. We were worthless. We had nothing we could offer. What could we offer the King of Kings, the creator of all things, the one who spoke and this universe was created? What can you and I offer him? But he knew we would sin. He knew we would fail him. He knew we would gossip. He knew we would struggle with lust. He knew we would desire covetousness, what other people have. He knew we would just want more and more. He knew all the wickedness that we would do. But he still bought us. He still bought us. He bought you knowing everything that you would do. That's powerful. You ever think about that? Only a good God. Only a gracious God. Only a God full of, what's the last phrase that we see in every one of these? Mercy.
Yes.
Mercy, only a God of mercy can do that. So when you're tempted to be depressed, stop looking at yourself, stop thinking about yourself, get out and talk to people about Jesus. And I promise you won't stay depressed. I don't think I have ever struggled with depression. And I think that I just don't think about me. Please, it will help you. Don't think about you. Don't think about yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't do that. A lot of women struggle with that. She's prettier than me, and my hair, and I don't have this or that. Please, s'il vous plaît, niquez clair, as I say in French and Fongbe, you don't have to worry about that. God created you, and God knows you, and God remembered you. When you were worthless to the world, to a normal person, God, he saw you. And he bought you anyway. He showed you mercy. Our God showed us mercy. Why? Why should we give him thanks? Whenever somebody asks you that, why should I give God thanks? What has God ever done for me? There's a lot of people out there like that. Then we have to come up with a response from the Bible. Because we're Bible people like the Bereans. And we need to be always in this Bible. We need to be reading this Bible, studying this Bible, memorizing this Bible, meditating on this Bible, and sharing God's word with others that don't know him. And when people ask, what do we tell them? God's worthy of our thanks because he's good. He's been good to me. Tell him your testimony. Tell him where you were. Tell him what you've done. And tell him what he saved you from. Tell him he's worthy of my thanks because he's good.
Yeah.
He's been good to me. Hey, and by the way, he's been good to you, atheist, because guess what? You're breathing, and where'd you get that breath? God gave that to you. And why are you even asking me about God? Because God's placed eternity in the heart of every man, the Bible says. And that's why you say you don't believe in God, but when you stub your toe, you take his name in vain. So that shows that you do believe in a God. You just don't want to acknowledge him. So why? Why should we praise God? Because he is good. He's been good to me. He's been good to you. And you can experience, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can experience his goodness if you like to. Why else should we praise God? Because he is the Lord. Because one day every knee will bow, whether they're Muslim or Hindu or voodoo or Jehovah's, whatever people are, Mormons or whatever, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why should we praise him? Because he's good. Because he's the Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the God of gods. And he's worthy of our thanks. Why else should we praise God? Because he's the creator God. And we see that God created. He created these trees that you and your atheistic mindset and the science, you can't explain how a tree grows. You can't explain how we can see the sun effects and the stars that we can still see them today. And they're so far away. You can't explain any of that. How were you created? How do you does your DNA, if we were to stretch it out to the sun and back, it would go there multiple different times before running out. How can you explain that? And you ask them, and you help them understand that God is the creator God. That he created you, that he created them, that he created the ocean. How do you explain that the ocean just stops? God just says, that's enough. No more. No further. How do you explain that? How do you explain that this whole world exists because of God's sovereignty? How do you explain that?
Right.
Why should God, why should we give him praise? Because he's good, because he's Lord, because he's the creator, because he's the redeemer. And you tell him of the price he paid for you. You tell him, my God is so good. That unlike other religions that ask something of those that adhere to their beliefs, my God never asked anything of me. My God is not on a mountain like Islam and like Hinduism and like Voodooism and like every other ism. All the other religions, they're all on a mountain. And their God is all on a mountain saying, come to me. Come to me, try harder. Try harder. You got to get more. Oh, you got to sacrifice more. Oh, you got to shave your head bald like the monks, and you got to wear these funny looking outfits. Oh, you got to kill chickens. And you got to kill human sacrifices to appease your God. But our God is not like the other false gods of this world. Our God never says come to me. Our God says stay right there. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I see you.
Yeah.
And I love you. Yeah. And what did our God do? What did our God do? He says, I love you so much that he got his son in order to go and get Asher. And he says, you deserve to die. You deserve this because you've sinned against me. But I'm going to take my son and I'm going to kill him. In your place. I will kill my son in your place. My only begotten son. The son that I love. The son that I was with for all of eternity past. I will kill him for you.
Yeah, thank God.
For your sin. He will die in your place as a propitiation.
Oh, thank you.
Because that's how much I love you.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he said, come to me and give me money. Is that what? And give me honor. And give me, is that what? What?
No,
for God to love the world that he
gave.
Woo! Woo! Wow. You loved your wife, so what did you give her? You gave her what? A ring, right? In Africa, you would have given her a cow. But here in America, I think most of us gave her a ring, right? Something of value to show her that you were wise enough to economize, to save money, and to buy her a ring, and you gave her a gift, right? When we love, we give. And that's what our God did. He loved, so he gave. And praise him for what he gave. He didn't just give a ring that's going to grow rust one day and burn with all of this world. He didn't just give a cow like they do in Africa that they're going to kill and eat and have a big barbecue. No, our God, he gave his son, Jesus. And with the price of the blood of his only son, he paid for you. So next time the devil says you're worthless, next time he lies to you, next time he tries to get in your head and tell you and remind you of all the sins that you've ever committed in your life, you remind him of his future. You remind the devil of what's coming for him, not because of who you are, but because of what Christ did. And there are people that are living right now in slavery, in sickness to sin. And they are miserable. And they are hurting. They are broken. They have nothing. And they're in depression, probably because they've never heard the gospel. They've never heard that God is good. They've never heard that that God is Lord. They've never heard that he's the creator, that he created them exactly how he wanted them, fearfully and wonderfully. They've never heard that. They've never heard that God is the redeemer, that he redeemed them, that he paid the price for them to be free. They've never heard the last phrase that we see here, that he's merciful.
That's right.
This world does not know a God of mercy.
No, brother.
They might... think that God is a God of anger and judgment and he just hates them. But our God that we serve in the Bible from the beginning all the way to the end has been a God of mercy.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, he provided a lamb for Isaac,
yes,
for Abraham in Isaac's place. And in the New Testament, that lamb was his son. That, by the way, was prophesied in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he says the serpent will bruise his heel, but he'll crush his head. That it was prophesied all throughout in the Bible.
Sure.
Because what God says always comes to pass.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, I'm coming quickly. Jesus says that. I'm coming soon. And Jesus said, hell is real, and most people are going there. Do you believe in hell? Do you believe hell exists?
Yes, brother.
And before you say yes, look at your life.
Yeah, brother.
Look at your life. Do you believe that it's real? Do you believe that Jesus is really coming soon?
Yeah, brother.
And before we respond, let's look at our life a little. How did we live this past week?
Say,
who did we share the gospel with?
Say,
this past week. Because what we love, we talk about.
Wow. Yeah.
And what we love, we give towards.
Yeah.
Our time, our talents, our treasure. Yeah. We will all be responsible one day. We will all have to give an account for what we have done with the time, the talents, and the treasure that we've been given.
Right. That's right.
This is just a reminder from God's word that we should give God thanks because he's Lord. Because he's good, because he's the creator, because he's the redeemer, and because he's merciful. But we need to remember that this week as we go out. As you go out to work, remember you're not working for money. We don't work for bread. Jesus didn't live for bread alone, and we shouldn't either. No. If God's given you a job, praise him for it. Praise him for it. It's a mission field. There's people around you at your job that have never heard the gospel. And he's placed you, as he's placed us as missionaries in Benin, he's placed you as a missionary in your workplace for as long as that is. And don't be afraid, oh, well, they might fire me. It's okay. If they fire you, go and get another job and share the gospel over there. Right?
Hallelujah.
Oh, well, you don't understand. Yes, I do. I do. I do. I work jobs too, and I got fired too from jobs. And it's okay. God will take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Julian, Julian was a school teacher. Caesar, he caught fish. But guess what happened? They heard the gospel, and it changed their lives, and they left their nets. They left their school books, and now they're preaching the gospel. Just go and share the gospel where you are. Don't be afraid of the outcome. God will use you. God has you where he wants you right now as a missionary. And he's commanded us all to what? To make make disciples of all nations. Okay, that's what Jesus commanded us to do, right? His last command should be our first what? Priority. Okay, how many disciples do you have?
Yeah, brother. Good question. Good.
How many disciples do you have? How many disciples have you made since you've been saved?
Right. Good question.
Because it's good to come to church, isn't it? Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as a manner of some. It's good to come to church. It's good to give. It's good to give to give our tithe, and it's good to give to missions, right? Yep. It is good, and God blesses that. But what else has he commanded us to do? He's commanded us to go to make disciples where? Both, right? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost.
Yes.
And the only way we can do that is by going where we are and giving where we're not, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way we can do both.
Yep.
And you guys do an amazing job as a church at that, of going, of giving and giving and supporting missionaries everywhere. But we need to be just as involved at making disciples here.
Yes.
Because it's a lot easier to come to church and to give and to pray and to sin than it is to go and to make disciples.
Oh, that's good, brother.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, good preaching.
How many disciples do you have right now? And before the devil starts beating you up, don't let him hand him back the stick. And just decide from now on, I'm going to make disciples.
Yeah.
What does that look like? If you've been saved for one day, You can go and share the gospel with someone who's not been saved for a day, and you can make them a disciple. And they can go as far as you can. So you've got to be growing. And you need to have someone that's discipling you so that you're growing. And as you're growing, you're helping this other person grow. So no matter who you are in this church, no matter what your age is, right now you can be making disciples. You can. The 30 disciples that are in Benin right now, the 30 guys that are going around, some of them have only been saved for a couple weeks, a couple months, less than a year. But they're already going out and they've made disciples. Why? Because the power is in the power not of us and how long you've been saved and how much you know about the Bible. No, the power is in the power of what? The gospel.
Right.
It's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. So go, you know the gospel, right? What's the gospel? What is the gospel? Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died a sacrificial death on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. And what happened after that? He rose again. And what? He's coming back, right? That's the gospel. It's not difficult. It's not confusing. It's very simple. And it's very powerful. The power is in the gospel. So go and make disciples this week. Go and make disciples. The first step of making disciples is sharing the gospel. And if you're an older a believer in here, you've been saved many years, look around for some younger people that haven't been saved as long and start meeting with them. Hey, let's meet at McDonald's. Let's meet at this place in the morning for an hour, and let's just read the Bible together. You can have a discipleship book if you want. There's good books out there. Or you can just read the Bible together. Whatever you want to do, the most important thing is you getting God's word and you're helping each other grow and you're encouraging each other. You're exhorting each other. You're reminding each other, hey, look at what Jesus said. What are you doing about it? Are you doing anything about it? Have you believed? This is what the gospel is. Have you believed? And you try to make them a disciple. If they believe, they need to be growing so that they teach faithful men so that they should be able to teach others also. That's our job. And it's not just my job. And it's not just pastor's job. And it's not just a few people's job. It's the job of everyone because he's called us all his ambassadors. He's commanded us all to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. He's given us all the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
Did you know you were called into the ministry? Did you know that?
Yep.
If you are a believer, if you are a saint that's been sanctified by Jesus Christ, justified by Jesus Christ, you are called into the ministry. It's not just for a few. No, that's Pastor. That's Pastor Kevin's job. That's only what he does. No, that's only what that crazy guy that wears funny clothes in Africa, that's only what he does. No, we are all called to make disciples. We've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. So who have you reconciled?
Good question.
Who have you reconciled? If Jesus comes back right now, who have you reconciled? To him. Where are your disciples? How many disciples have you made? And I know that question is awkward. And I know that it's not very comfortable thinking about that. Is it? Get back to preaching about God's grace. Yes, God has shown grace. And what have you done with it? Don't waste it. Don't waste it. How have you invested the time, the talents, and the treasures that God has entrusted temporarily into your care? How have you invested that? And wood and stubble that will burn? I hope not. Or in precious stones, gold and silver, that will be able to make a crown that you'll be able to offer at the feet of Jesus in heaven. And you'll have a group of disciples that God has used you to make. God has always chosen to use people to get the gospel to other people. Yeah. Always. Yeah. Right. Always. Right. If he wanted to, he could just save everyone. He already has. But how is he getting that message across? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they're sent? And to preach there the Greek just means to proclaim. So even you as ladies, you can proclaim the gospel to other ladies. You can proclaim the gospel to other children. There's many people that need the gospel. No, so don't limit yourself with, oh, I'm not a man, I can't preach. No, what did God use the Samaritan woman to do? Yeah. Reach a whole city by her testimony. She didn't even know much. Right. just by her testimony. All she did was just say, come see Jesus. Come and see a man which told me all things which ever I did. Is not this the Christ? God used a donkey to get his message across to somebody, right? If God can use a donkey, he can use any of us. So don't ever excuse yourself. Don't ever say, that's not for me. I just got to make money, and I just got to live the American dream. And, you know, I have a house that Jesus never had, and buy the newest car because Jesus rode in the nicest chariot. Is that what happened? No. We need to awake unto righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this what? To your shame. There are many that have not the knowledge of Christ. Even here where we live, even in the Bible Belt, there are many here that have not the knowledge of Christ. And we need to wake up. The early church, what happened? What do we see? What do we see believers doing? They're buying more property for themselves, and they're building houses, and they're buying houses for themselves. They're riding around in chariots, and they're buying more, and they're getting storage units for themselves to fit their stuff that they can't fit in their house because they've got too much stuff already, so they go and pay. Is that what we see them doing? No, what do we see people, believers, doing, new believers? They sold everything. They sold everything.
You're right.
Those that had land sold their land. Those that had possessions sold their possessions, and they placed it at the apostles' feet. Why? So that the gospel would be advanced.
You're right.
Because they cared about Jesus.
Amen.
And obeying what he told us to do to make disciples, and they cared about others getting the gospel.
That's right.
But we have a big problem in America with comfort.
Yep.
I want to ask you a question. Are you comfortable being comfortable? Are you comfortable being comfortable? Because I'm sick of it, personally. It makes me sick. You know, if you count up all the storage units in America and you put them all together, the entire state of Florida would be filled with storage units. And we see the story of the man who had a barn that was full. And he said, oh, I've got a problem. I got to tear down this barn and build bigger barns. And then we see the new Christians in the Bible. And today we see a lot of Americans that call themselves Christians that live like the man with the barn. And it's a big problem. You know, the four lepers that found all the food, they found all the gold and all the silver, and they started eating it and consuming it. And then what happened? One of them started to say, oh, we do not well. We do not well. Or are you comfortable in your comfort? If that's the case, that should ring a bell that there's a problem. Because why? Jesus was never comfortable. How about Peter who got crucified upside down? How about James that got sawed in half? How about Thomas that was speared in India? How about the Christians in the Colosseum that were ripped to shreds by wild animals? How about the Christians that were lit on fire while they were still alive to light these emperor's courts?
Yeah, brother.
Were they comfortable? Were they comfortable? Come to Africa. I'll show you evangelists that I have seen their feet bleeding because they've walked miles to preach the gospel to people that have never heard. Come to Benin. I'll show you oars that have blood on their hands from the hands that those that rowed for 4 and 6 hours on this Lake Nokwe searching for people that have never heard the gospel. They don't live comfortable. Come to Benin, I'll show you Victorin, who sleeps in a box with his wife and his 8 kids. They just sleep on the floor, and when it rains, they all get wet. He's not comfortable. So why do we think that we deserve to be comfortable?
No, brother.
Yep. I, for one, I'm not comfortable being comfortable. And I don't think we should be. If we were like these four lepers, we would just keep eating and digging and piling. And then what? What happens? We forget about a city that's starving.
Oh, brother.
This world is starving for the gospel. It's not about possession. It's not about stuff. But what our where our treasure is, there will our and if your heart was truly for Christ, you will do what he said. If you love me, keep my... Okay, let's all pause and let it get awkward again. Have you kept his commandments? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who here has ever left America? You know, but 96% of the world is outside of America. Right? Make disciples of all nations, right? Both in Jerusalem. How many disciples do you have right now? How many disciples have you helped make in Africa and Benin? Several. Praise God. A whole lot. 450 of them. Praise God. That's fruit that abounds to your account.
Oh, yes.
But we need to all be involved in that, right? We need to all be making disciples. We don't like it when it gets awkward or uncomfortable. But sometimes we need that.
You're right. Yep. You're right. True.
We need to wake up.
Yep.
We need to wake into righteousness and sin not.
Yes.
For many have not the knowledge of God. I want to encourage all of you. God is using you. This church. I've heard what God has done through your pastor and through others in the community. God is working here. God is working.
Yes, sir.
Thank God.
And God's using you here and around the world.
Right.
Keep it up. But don't ever become comfortable being comfortable.
Right.
Don't ever be content. Oh, well, you know, I give what I give, and that's okay. Oh, well, I shared the gospel one time. I read my Bible at church. I go to church, right? What? Don't ever get complacent in your walk with Christ.
Right.
We all can go. We all have been commanded to go, to give, to pray, to be involved completely in God's work.
Right.
Don't just dip your foot in. Jump in. It's the greatest life ever. I've got no regrets. No
sure.
regrets. No regrets. Come and join me. Come and join your pastor. Come and join those that are in full-time ministry, because you are too. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Let's do it together. Let's make disciples together.
Yeah, brother.
I want, if I come back in 5 years, I want to be able to ask you, where are your disciples? And you to be able to show me or tell me, hey, this is my disciples. And we start churches, multiple churches all around here, all around Jamestown. They need more churches. There's already a lot, but they need more. And we start churches in Benin. And we go over on missions trips. And we go and we give and we pray and we go more and we do more and we sacrifice more and we pray more and we give more and we go more. May we never be comfortable being comfortable.
Right.
We should give God praise because he's good, because he's Lord, because he's the creator, because he's the redeemer, and because he is merciful.
Yes, sir.
If he's been good to you, if he's your Lord, if he created you, if he redeemed you, and if you've shown you mercy, let's just pause in all our busyness and all the hecticness of life and thinking about work tomorrow and school tomorrow and what we want to do and our dreams and our plans and our visions. Let's just pause and let's give him praise. We as Americans were so busy thinking about this and all looking at the time and I got to go here and I got to go there and I got to do this and I want to do that. Let's just be still and know for a second and realize for a second he's God.
Yep.
He's God, and he doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants us. He remembered us, and he still does, and he's saved us, and he's called us to go in and make disciples. So if we love him, what do we need to do if we love him? If you love me, obey him. Obey him. Accomplish the Great Commission. Make disciples. Make disciples. So that when that question is asked, it's not so awkward. Make disciples. Make disciples. How do we make a disciple? Huh? We got to share the gospel. And when we share the gospel, what'll happen? We just share the gospel and we leave them?
It's easier to make babies than it is to raise them. And that's why discipleship isn't a big thing. That's why many people don't like discipleship, because it takes time, because it's hard. If you've ever raised children, it's harder than making children, isn't it?
Sure, brother.
It's a lot harder. But that's what we've been called to do. And if we don't make disciples in time, I've seen it time and time again, wonderful churches like this will die. It happens all the time. Look around at America. The average church is 25 people, mostly gray hair. And pretty soon, it'll be no people. And every church has a birthday and a death date, and that's okay. But if you want this church to continue to reach the world, the only way we can do that is by making disciples. All of us, not just your pastor. He's doing a lot, but he can't do it alone. And one day, he's going to graduate to glory. And who's going to take his place? We've got to make disciples. We've got to make disciples. That's what we've been called to do. So let's do it. And while we make disciples, we're praising God. Because he's good, because he's Lord, because he's our creator, because he is our redeemer, and because he's merciful. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in hearts, Father. Those that have not believed you, Lord, I pray that you would just call them to yourself, Father, as you already are. But I pray, Lord, that they would make the decision to believe. Father, you're calling. You desire all to be saved. But there are some here that do not know you. And they've resisted you. And they've fought against you. And they have run from you like so many others. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd convict them. And that you'd save them, Lord. Bring them to the end of themselves. Help them to realize that you're a good Father. And you're the only God that's good. Lord, and for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are here, Father, this evening, they've been very patient and they've been very attentive and they've listened very well, Lord, and I thank you for them. I thank you for the fact that they're here and they're faithful and they've not forsaken the assembly of themselves together as the manner of many is, dear Heavenly Father, but they're here, and I thank you for their faithfulness. I pray you'd bless them for it, Lord, but I pray, Father, that you'd help us all to awaken to righteousness and sin not, that you'd help us all to make disciples. Lord, that you would do in hearts, Father, Holy Spirit, what only you can do. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, for you alone are worthy. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.